Second hour at Aaron Donick and Chase here on this gorgeous Friday here in Middle Tennessee. Hope everybody's having a good day to this point as we get a little bit closer to wrapping up the week. Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you. Chase will follow the show. He's filling in for Jared Stillman today. That's coming up at 2 o'clock. We always enjoy our chats with our next guest, Richard Deitch from The Athletic. He is now on the line with us. He may be helping the Maple Leafs plan a parade. I'm sure they're probably already talking about that, at least up in where he is. Richard, how you doing?
Let's not get ahead, too far ahead. I mean, we've got a lot of years of bad and ugly playoff losses. But yes, it is at the moment, at least when it comes to hockey, it's been very good to be a Toronto Maple Leaf at the moment.
So that was a pump the brakes, but are they really pumping the brakes in Toronto?
Well, Toronto's a weird city when it comes. I mean, maybe it's the same in your city when it comes to college football. But you know, there's a lot of obsession with the Maple Leafs, and you get it on both sides. You get people who every year are true believers and think they're going to win the cup, and then of course you have people who are so you know, they feel so snake bitten
right.
by like the last 20, 30 years.
So they get cynical. They find reasons why it's not going to happen. Right? They get real negative.
They think the sky's falling and this is all a mirage. I mean, the reality is they're the best team in the North Division. I don't think there's really no question about that, certainly on talent alone. And they should, you know, unless significant injuries happen or one team gets really hot, they really shouldn't get out of that division. I mean, it would be a terrible year if they didn't. And then when you're in the Final Four, just given the way the setup is in this COVID environment, if you're a Leafs fan, that's all you can ask for. I don't know if they're as good as the Lightning or Vegas or Florida or Tampa Bay or whatever team ends up there. But, you know, the Leafs will have never been in that situation. And if you can get to essentially the semifinals in the Stanley Cup tournament, I feel like that's all you can ask for, and then you take your shot. So there's a lot of excitement here, but at the same time, it's very much like what it used to probably be for the Red Sox fan base. There's just an expectation, too, that something bad's going to happen.
All right, fair enough. What are they saying about the All-Canada division? Would they like to see this remain intact? What are people saying about this division this year? Do they like it?
Probably depends on what city you're in Canada. You know, Toronto is very different, as I've learned as an American now up here for 3 years, versus Edmonton or Calgary. It's almost like multiple different countries. In a way, maybe similar to the United States in that way. But I think, by and large, Canadians like it, for sure. It's exciting for them to see traditional rivals play many more times than normal. Like, Battle of Alberta is pretty exciting for, Calgary, et cetera. It's always interesting for Torontonians to see them play the Canadiens, and they play the Canadiens a ton more times. While Ottawa has not been great, that's a traditional rivalry, given that both Ottawa and Toronto are in Ontario. And then I think you have fans who are just pretty excited because they get to see Connor McDavid and Austin Matthews a lot more this year. You know, probably arguably two of the four best players in hockey, or certainly two of the, you know, three or four best young players in hockey. So I think by and large Canadians like it. And I know Torontonians like it because this far and away is their best shot to really do some damage in the playoffs, because by and large over the last couple of years, the Maple Leafs have had to deal with the Bruins and the Lightning. And those are two really, really good franchises, two strong teams, and the Leafs have just gotten they've just gotten beat by those two franchises, either in the regular season or in the postseason. So I think, by and large, Canadians like it. The ratings and the viewership, by the way, both in Canada and the States, have been great. So I think the NHL should consider doing this heading forward. From what I understand, reasons against it would be travel and schedule. But I like it. I actually think the NHL lucked is not the right word with COVID, but I think the NHL came into something that's really, really interesting and could give you a storyline every year of, you know, here's these divisions that have never played against each other. It's like the old baseball days. And like, what's it going to be like when the North finally plays the East? Like, I think it's interesting, but I don't know if the NHL will keep doing it.
Yeah. By the way, sitting here in Nashville, you can tell them they can have Tampa back. So yes, after this season is over,
I think everybody in Nashville will vote for Tampa to go back to the other.
Nothing against
up for the Preds, as you guys know, and like you know, you went in like within like a pretty much a 3-year span from being sort of the it team in hockey to having some struggles. But that's sports, you know. Franchises. This is why it is so important when you have a window to really be the best team in the league to go for it, because the window can close very quick.
Well said, no doubt about it. Agree. Did you get a chance to sit down with Jim Ross with your podcast? A guy we've gotten to know over the years, and you know, being on with us so many times, Chase is kind of our resident wrestling fan, and he's the one that's in the past when Jim was in town in Nashville, you know, would push to have him on, and it was like, you know, okay, sure. And we have gotten to know him. He's come in studio, and you know, you just wind him up and let him go. He is full of personality and a really fun guy to hang around.
Yeah, he was, you know, we talked via we set that up via Zoom, basically. So, you know, I saw him, but it wasn't, we weren't next to each other. Jim Ross is great. I mean, the guy's one of the most iconic voices in the history of professional wrestling. If you know anything about that, or if you enjoy it, he's called WrestleManias. Yeah, he was back in the Mid-South days. The guy's career sort of spans from, you know, like Ric Flair to Roman Reigns, and now in AEW with, you know, John Moxley and Chris Jericho, et cetera. The thing that's always interesting to me, and I sometimes have to fight this too at my own station up in Toronto, people who are in wrestling are phenomenal radio guests. And if you can get sort of the hardcore sports person, whether it's a program director or your fellow co-host who doesn't want it, like, it's just very short-sighted in thinking, because their entire reason for being is cutting promos as a general rule. They are talkers first and foremost. They know how to put themselves, in wrestling parlance, they know how to put themselves over. They know how to cut a promo either on you or on themselves. And so they make for great guests. And so, Jim, I'm glad you guys have Jim in the studio, because, you know, guys like that are phenomenal. And they also have interests away from...
He is a huge college football fan.
He's a monster Oklahoma.
Yes.
He's one of the biggest Oklahoma fans in the country. He knows Bob Stoops. He has a suite at whatever OU stadium is. He's been on the sideline. So, like, that, this is like a legit diehard college football fan, too.
Yeah, I mean, he would, I mean, you know, name dropping, you know, he'd come in, like I said, this is obviously pre-pandemic, but he did it many, many times. He just would come in and just take over the show, and we would just have the best time. And of course, as you said, Richard, the feedback on Twitter and stuff, people were going nuts listening to him. But yeah, he'd be sitting there, he's like, yeah, after this game, Oklahoma, you know, beat Oklahoma State, and Bob Stoops called me afterwards, and we went over to his house, and we were grilling out, and he's just turns into a Bob Stoops story, him hanging out at his house, they're grilling out and, you know, having a drink, and it's just how do you not love that?
It's true. And you guys, as you know, I mean, you know, Tennessee is a very, very famous state for wrestling, going back to old school wrestling. Like, you know, whether it's sort of Memphis or Smoky Mountain territories, like your state in particular has a very long and storied history in pro wrestling, and Jim Ross can speak to that because he came up in the era where the territories, as they called it, were massive, and Tennessee was a, you know, big territory. I grew up in New York, obviously, so, you know, we, like, pretty much sort of, we were inundated with, at the time, was WWF, and it's where Vince McMahon essentially his headquarters were, but there's so many parts of the country, particularly in the South, where, you know, the people who were, like, the star of that region, honestly, we're like bigger than professional sports stars at that point. So it's just, I know it's not for everybody, but I find it sort of interesting because I find it just to be a very interesting business. And Jim Ross is like one of the interesting guys in this interesting business.
Good stuff. Richard Deitch from the Media Circus, The Athletic, is with us once again. And Richard, in the next few weeks, I'm guessing we're going to start getting some details. And maybe, who knows, any day now you could get a deal on the NFL and their next package. And you explored this recently about ESPN. It's an interesting question. Like, I would just assume that ESPN is going to be involved in this in some way, but you sort of explored the topic. Should ESPN save the money, you know, cover the NFL without paying the rights fee?
Yeah, I mean, it's an exploration that honestly is irrelevant, because ESPN is going to research. So basically, I would say for your listeners, they should know, I would expect these deals to come next week. And by and large, everything that you are used to watching in the NFL right now is going to stay the same, with the exception of Thursday Night Football, which will probably be some combination of Amazon having exclusive rights on certain games, the NFL Network having some of those games, and then if it's a game in your home market, you'll be able to watch it on over the air. So, like, if the Titans play, people will be able to have access to that game in Nashville, even if they, you know, don't have the NFL Network or don't have Amazon Prime. But, yeah, I mean, you know, myself and John Orand, who's a very, very well-connected reporter for Sports Business Daily, we sort of just explored, like, this this notion of, okay, if ESPN decided not to go all in on Monday Night Football again, decided not to go all in paying the NFL $2 million for unlimited highlights and getting into the Super Bowl, like, what could they do? And Orand had some very interesting things to say about that. He said what they could do is own college football. What you do then is you blow Fox way out of the water when the Big Ten rights comes up, because Fox is going to pay for the NFL, and there's no way, if ESPN has, you know, $2 or $3 billion sitting there in the bank, that Fox can go with them on the Big Ten. So you now own the Big Ten. Orand said when the Pac-12 rights come up, which are coming up pretty soon, you go after that and you own the Pac-12. So essentially, if you're ESPN, you have now a monopoly on college football. Nobody can touch you on that, second biggest sport in the country. And then he said you still have a lot of money to get the NHL. So you blow out NBC, who, again, has to go put their $2 billion into the NFL. And so now you become the primary rights holder of the NHL. And then you still have money left over, in his words, for, you know, smaller leagues that come up. You know, you still invest in soccer if, like, La Liga or Serie A or something like that comes up. Or if you think, like, there's a growth sport like women's hockey or professional lacrosse. So that was his thesis. And you know what? Like, financially, it's pretty interesting thesis, because it would not cost you as much as the NFL. The real question is, like, how attractive is ESPN without the NFL? Would all these cable carriers still want ESPN? And how would they deal with sort of the PR of not being involved in the NFL outside of, you know, SportsCenter and, you know, the first takes of the world talking about it? So it's pretty interesting. They're not going to do it. They're going to go all in on the NFL. But I did think that was kind of interesting, and I was kicking around like, man, imagine like one place owned all of college football. I mean, that's a pretty dominant position to be in. You know, you may not get 20 million viewers like all these NFL games get, but, you know, you'd be rolling up in aggregate like 20 million viewers with all the different college football you showed every Saturday in the fall. So it was a pretty interesting exploration.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept for sure. Richard, I'm going to represent all of the streamers out there, with especially with baseball coming around the corner. Is there anything you're hearing about a lot of the regional sports networks that don't have the agreement with the YouTube TVs of the world yet? Do you think there'll be a breakthrough with baseball?
I mean, eventually, you know, Sinclair, you know, got the old Fox regionals, and
right.
Quite frankly, it's been an absolute mess for so many markets. I mean, baseball. Baseball is mind-boggling, just in that, like, it really has some great athletes and stories to tell, yet the way they tell them, including through the media, just always seems to get screwed up. I mean, these deals will eventually be worked out, but from everything I understand, it's going to take a little bit of time. Each different city has some of these own quirks, but, you know, this is where you would have hoped, like, Major League Baseball would have stepped in with some of its rights holder partners and just figure out a way for people and fans to get the inventory that they want. So, like, the short answer is, yeah, I think it's eventually going to be worked out. But, like, for this season, in some cities, it's not going to be worked out. There will be some places in this country, incredibly enough, where you will not be able to, depending on where you live, watch your hometown baseball team.
You're saying on the stream?
Say that again?
On the streaming service, you mean?
Yeah, on the streaming service. I mean, you know, like, the reality of the world is, like, you can watch stuff. I mean, I don't want to get arrested on,
right.
on Tennessee radio, but, yeah, I mean, talk to any 22-year-old kid in your
right. They have their ways,
they'll
right?
tell you how to get these games. I'm just saying, so you can get them, but, you know, it's not the way you want to get them. I mean, the reality is you want to sit in your basement or sit in your dining room and be able to turn on X and have a nice, you know, have sort of a nice presentation in front of you. Not have to go online and go through, like, you know, a service in Russia that's pirating these games in America.
Leave us with this, Richard. You mentioned you know, the TV deal is on the verge of happening for the NFL. The NHL is also in this process. And you were saying the ratings have been encouraging, even though, you know, there's still limited fans in some of the cities, still none in some of the games. But you feel like the deal is going to be what they hope it will be?
I would have said that like a couple of months ago, and now I'm not sure. Because NBC, Comcast, NBC Universal has in their sort of these corporate meetings, talking to shareholders and et cetera, has said that they're not going to be as aggressive with other sports deals once they get past the NHL. I'm sorry, once they get past the NFL. So while I would have thought it would have been a slam dunk that NBC really wants the NHL and is going to pay a big increase, now I'm not sure. What I am sure about is ESPN's going to have NHL games. What I don't know is, does ESPN come in and take the sort of the NBC role in the package, meaning like the primary package? If so, the NHL will get a nice increase, and then they'll have to figure out what they want to do with, you know, a secondary partner. So they're going to get an increase. All sports rights always go up. That's sort of just like the rule of law. But I think they probably will not get where they would probably will not get the money they would have gotten in a pre-COVID environment. I do think COVID too has hurt the NHL just because of the timing. You know, there's less money in all these companies. The companies that want the NFL are going to go all in. The NFL has all this leverage, and that means less money for a secondary property like the NHL. But they'll get an increase, and they'll be somewhere. The one thing I can guarantee is ESPN will have a bigger presence in hockey heading forward than they do now.
Hopefully all of us will have a good weekend. I mean, it won't be as good as Skip Bayless, but hopefully we'll all have a good weekend. It's good to be here.
Yeah, I mean, Phil
Richard's favorite media
road,
person.
But yeah, I mean, again, having now written about media, having written sports media for 15 years, one of the only rules, one of the only truisms that is always the case, when a network says that they don't have money, they're BSing you. They always have money, and someone will always get paid. Sometimes the people who get paid are not the intellectually most deserving people, but, you know, that's also the story of the United States of America sometimes.
Richard, always fun. Thank you so much. You do have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you down the road.
See you guys. Take care.
Richard Deitch from The Athletic. That's where you can find his work. Yeah, if you didn't hear, Skip Bayless, $32 million. Just signed a new deal.
Must be nice.
$32 million to fake fight. You got to love it. Got to love America. that was a pretty good line.
Mind.
If they tell you they don't have money, they're lying. They got money.
If you told me the number was $3 million, I would still be like, man, that is unbelievable. $32 million?
Yeah. I think it's like, what was it, $6 million a year? $5.5 million a year? Something like that? Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, we'll come back. The first installment this year, and it's a collaboration. Willie D and Elijah. They're going to tell you the field of 68. Who to expect in the tournament this year in Indianapolis? We'll do that on the other side of the DDC. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Oh, that music. You know what that means when you hear that. You can feel it in the air. It is March. By the way, how would you like to watch the Predators game in style? You're nodding your head, yes. Tune in later to this show. We'll give you a chance to text in a key word to 615-737-1025. You'll have a chance to win a T-Mobile hockey home gate. A chance to watch a Predators weekend game with a Dos Equis prize pack, which includes a case of beer, dessert from Nothing Bundt Cakes, a T-Mobile prize pack, and food provided by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown, which is Chicago-style deep dish. Yum, yum. Must be 21 years of age or older to enter. So be listening today. You should listen every day, but especially today for that keyword. We'll give you the keyword, and then you text in. All right. Without further ado, I'm going to turn things over to Willie Brackets and his sidekick, Elijah Brackets.
All right. Yes, the great tunage from the Hoosier soundtrack is ready to roll, and we give you our first bubble update for 2021. Isn't it nice to know that the NCAA tournament will be played? Conference tournament's going on right now. We've got fights breaking out as we speak in the A-10.
The Bonnie's getting a little bit of trouble here.
What is going on?
I tuned it over, and the second I tuned it over, the refs are breaking everything up, but it looked intense.
Oh, boy.
Between St. Bonaventure and Duquesne.
So, let's do part one. I will go through... I love the conference. I love all the conferences, right? Get used to it. These are the names you might want to know. I'm just going to pick a team. These are all... There's some leagues where this is not a clear-cut thing, right? We know you got to win the tournament to get in, and there will be upsets, as always. But I'll go through the little guys. These are the... one bid only leagues. And we'll start alphabetically. The A-Sun, home of the Lipscomb Bisons. They've got a shot, and we're going to root for them.
But they got eliminated yesterday, actually. Unfortunately. Grief. Florida Gulf Coast bounced them in the first round.
It's over?
It's already over.
No!
The dream has already fallen for the Lipscomb Bisons.
Well, that shows you that my attention to detail may not be what it needs to be.
Now we know why there's a collaboration.
That's why we have a collaboration.
So teamwork. Like a
good Liberty offense. Flames. We're going to go with the Liberty Flames. Kind of boring, but they've been really good, obviously, the last
few years.
So
they didn't flame out.
And two-seed Bellarmine lost to Stetson yesterday, too. So
the Hatters
got their competition has their biggest competition in that conference has already been bounced.
All right. America East. A number of different teams that could win this thing, but I'm going to go with the old standby with Vermont, the Catamounts. And I'm so sad that Chase is not here to try to get quizzed on the nicknames. Remember how much he struggled last year? I mean, he was
struggled
on the struggle
bus. Struggled is putting it nicely. If we had prizes to give away, he would have walked home empty-handed. No prizes.
No question about it. He would have gotten nothing. Not even parting gifts.
We found out how good of a guesser Chase McCabe was last
year.
He had some
extreme misses. We'll go to the Big Sky out west. Southern Utah, the Thunderbirds, is who I have circled as a possibility there. Of course, you never count out Weber State, teams like that. The Big South, Winthrop is 21-1. You know, that's a – I don't care what you – I mean, that's the Joe Lunardi, right? I don't care what league you're in. 21-1 is awfully good, so keep an eye on them.
Saturday night, they play in the Big South Championship game against my boys, the Campbell Fighting Camels.
The Campbell Camels, okay. Big West, we're going to go with the Gauchos of UC Santa Barbara. They always seem to be in it. Of course, you can never count out the Anteaters of UC Irvine in that league. The Colonial, I'm going to go, and I'm a little bit biased here because my daughter is headed there. The Northeastern Huskies, who did make it a couple of years ago. Their record is only 9-8, but they have done really well in league play. And so they've got a shot. So I'm going with the Huskies. David Poyle would approve, I think. Conference USA, we're going to go with Western. Now, here's my question to you, Elijah. If Western were to lose, they have any chance of an at-large look?
They have a very good chance, and you'll find out later in the same segment whether I have them in or out if they don't win the conference tournament.
Well, hopefully they don't have to worry about it, but that's the kind of thing that happens at this time of year, and it's very murky. Especially with the way the league is going, but they've got a heck of a team.
Potential bid thief conference right there.
All right, the Horizon semifinals are when? Tomorrow? Or is that tonight? I think tomorrow, right?
I think it's probably tomorrow.
Cleveland State, we're going to go with the Vikings in honor of Mouse McFadden, Darren, from back in the day.
Love it.
They had a great day. Remember that we were talking about this the other day. The Horizon quarterfinals were unbelievable, and Cleveland State has survived. There's been some really good games there. Metro Atlantic, I'm going to go with the Siena Saints. Our buddy Jim Diamond, the representative locally from the Siena Saints Alumni Club. Remember once upon a time they beat Vanderbilt in the first round? Shane Foster's last game? That was that stunk if you're a Commodore fan. And Jim Diamond never let me forget that. But Siena's got a really good team. The MAC, we're going to go with the Toledo Rockets. The MAC is always wide open, always a lot of good games there. Several teams could win it. The MEAC, we're going with Norfolk State. The Spartans, we've seen them make noise in the tournament before. The Northeast Conference, the Wagner Seahawks, right now leading the way. That's my pick. And, of course, The OVC, we're going with Belmont. They play in the semifinal against Jacksonville State. Certainly not a gimme. Jacksonville State pulls off the overtime win over Murray State to advance to the semifinal. The Patriot League, we're going to go with the Colgate Raiders. Once upon a time, they were the Red Raiders. They have dropped the red. Remember, they played UT in the tournament in the first round a couple years ago. The Southern Conference, we're going to go with the Wofford Terriers. But, of course, the Southern is always a good league. There's always some good contenders there. Wofford is one of several teams that could win it. The Southland Conference, Sam Houston State, the Bearcats with a K. Not to be confused with the Cincinnati Bearcats, who got beat by the Commodores last night up in Cincinnati. A nice win with Scottie Pippen coming back in the lineup, scoring 36.
Cincinnati stinks.
Pippen went bonkers last night.
That was a heck of a performance.
They miss little Mick.
He gone.
Yeah, he gone.
We'll get to Mick in a moment here. Moving on, we go to the SWAC. Prairie View A&M, the Panthers. That's who we picked there. The Summit League, remember, is it South Dakota? Is it South Dakota State? Is it North Dakota State? They're all in there. The Summit League, though, we're going to go this year with the Jackrabbits, the most fun nickname, South Dakota State. They've had good teams in the past, but they're hardly a shoe-in. That'll be a good conference tournament. The Sun Belt, the Georgia State Panthers. There's another league that has some very good teams. I picked Georgia State, but there's more than one team that could win it. The WAC. Grand Canyon. Now, are they eligible, Elijah, to go? I'm guessing they are.
Last I heard, they are eligible.
Okay. Grand Canyon, the Antelopes, coached by Darren?
Don't know.
Oh, you know this.
Yes, you do.
I do.
He was a Commodore.
An old pal.
What?
He was once the coach
Lionel
of the Commodores.
Lionel Richie?
Close. And by close, I mean not. But
I was going to say Billy Gillespie before you started giving me hints.
If Lionel Richie hit a buzzer beater to lead Valpo to an upset against Ole Miss in the NCAA tournament back in the day and became a college basketball coach, this would be Lionel Richie.
He had an 0-18 in the SEC.
Drew?
Bryce Drew.
Bryce Drew?
Coaching Grand Canyon and doing a heck of a job.
Really?
Oh, yes. Leading the way.
I honestly didn't even know he. I thought he was still just living here. I didn't even know he took a job. Now that
listen,
you say
when he,
that,
when
I
he
do
took
remember
that job,
I do remember that.
When he
now.
Took that job during it was during the height of the pandemic.
Yes,
right. I hadn't even heard of Grand Canyon. I didn't know that was a school. But I didn't know that was Division I. And here they are at the top of the league.
It's crazy.
Well, we actually talked about. If you remember, we made jokes. Right, we were saying that exact. So now that you say that and you reference it, now I do remember. Us talking about it briefly, and you're right, it was in the middle of everything. Well, good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Great to hear from him. Great guy. So this will be interesting to see if they get in there. Okay, so those are the one-bid leagues. Then you get to the leagues that you have a little top-heaviness, right? But you have some big dogs. So obviously the West Coast Conference has Gonzaga. If they were to somehow lose, which nobody's come close to beating them, we know they're going to be still a one seed in the tournament. So it could be a weird way to go. But we think that there's another team that'll be in there. We'll get to that in a moment. The Mountain West Conference, San Diego State, top 25 team. If they were to get beat, that opens up another spot. And there's other teams in that league that are contenders to get in. Elijah, we'll get to that. Then we go to the Missouri Valley. And once again, a big story you need to know about if you haven't been paying too much attention to college basketball, but you love the March Madness. Loyola Chicago. Loyola Chicago, the Ramblers. They are awesome. Again, remember they made it to the Final Four? They got another great team. So if they were to lose, they're still going to be in the tournament. There's other teams in the Missouri Valley that are contenders as well we'll get to. The American Conference, Houston. Chance at a two seed. Right? Maybe even an outside chance at a one seed. A lot of people really like Houston. And, of course, if they lose, they're in. Other teams in the American will contend. We'll come back to those teams. Team number 25, I'm going to go St. Bonaventure out of the A-10. I think they're going to be in, even if they lose in the conference tournament, even if they get in a fight, which apparently they just did. Hopefully they can still get through there and do well. Because, of course, you have a St. Bonaventure representative in our listening audience, the one and only Jerry Helper, right? We get the Bona updates from him weekly. They've done a great job in that league. So let's stop there.
He is usually this time of year on pins and needles.
Yes, he is.
Wondering if they're in or they're out.
So we'll stop there. When we come back, we'll go part two. We'll race through the power conferences, and then we'll get to the what's at stake on the bubble. And Elijah will jump in there. But we'll get to the SEC, what's going on in the Big Ten, the Pac-12, all of those. So this is our bubble update on 102.5 The Game. Part two, the good stuff coming up. It is time for part two of the Bubble Watch here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe, subbing for Jared Stillman later, absent, so the comic relief of him butchering the nicknames of all these teams will not be at your disposal. But Elijah Campbell making his debut with the bubble analysis. That's coming here in just a few minutes. We went through the automatic bids.
Would Chase have been better a year later?
That's what we'll never know.
Yeah.
Well, maybe next week. You know, maybe we'll try it again next week when he's back with us.
What we need to do is spring it on him so he doesn't have time to study.
Exactly. And some of these teams are going to change, right? Because some that I named will be eliminated. They'll get upset in their conference tournaments, and you'll have some new teams to know. All right, let's get to the power conferences. We're at team number 26 right now. Let's start in the ACC. It's a weird year there where there's still a lot of teams with some work to do to try to nail down their spot. So right now, Florida State, Virginia, and Virginia Tech are locks. And then there's some other ones that are almost there, should get there, but aren't quite there yet. So we're going to come back around to those. The Big 12, we know, is a very deep conference. Baylor, back on track after their pause. They had a big week as they beat West Virginia in an exciting game a couple of days ago and then beat Oklahoma State last night. Kansas, surging, moving up in the right direction, is a lock. West Virginia, very solid top 10 team. Oklahoma State with Cade Cunningham. Hopefully his ankle's okay. That's a guy, if you haven't watched play, we think he's going to be the number one pick in the draft. He's a guy that is a lot of fun to watch, and that team is fun. Texas, big win last night, lock. Oklahoma, who Texas beat, has now lost four in a row, but they're still a lock. And Texas Tech, remember they were in the final game not long ago? What an exciting game that was. They're still pretty good. They're going to be in the tourney. On to the Big East. Villanova beat Creighton the other day to lock up the regular season title, but one of their best players, they're kind of the leader, grinder, Colin Gillespie, torn MCL, out for the season. So that is an interesting one. What do you do with Villanova? That'll be a tough question for the committee. Creighton is going to be in the tournament. There's some other teams that will be, too. That's always a deep, tough league that's balanced, hard to figure out. We'll circle back to the other teams. The Big Ten, probably the best conference in the country. I don't think I'd get any argument from anybody. Would you, Elijah?
Oh, I would say so. I'd say it's a Big Ten 1, Big 12 2. Big Ten's just loaded.
Michigan, Illinois, potential 1 seeds. Potential could win it all kind of teams. Iowa, Purdue, Ohio State, all really, really good teams that could go very deep. Wisconsin, also a lock. Some other teams will get in. We'll circle back to those. On to the Pac-12. Oregon playing very well right now. Well coached, tough team. USC, a lot of talent. UCLA with Mick Cronin, who Darren mentioned before, the former coach at Cincinnati. Hadn't done half bad out there, but of course the expectations are always to win the whole thing. I don't know if they're there, but they've got a pretty good team. Colorado's a very good team. They'll be in the big dance. So four teams for sure from the Pac-12, others on the bubble. Then finally to the SEC, and we're at team 48 now. We know Alabama and Arkansas are locks. How high could Alabama be seeded? Could they be a 2? I think so. Arkansas, 3? Maybe? LSU, why are they even eligible? But they're going to be in there, I think. I still have no idea. How are they not on probation right now? I don't get it.
They must have just forgot about that.
I did. Yeah. Did they just put a spell on everybody? Did they just forget to the file? Did somebody lose the file? What's going on? LSU is still eligible.
They've been focusing in on Les Miles.
Yeah, and him in his inappropriateness.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Apparently, that's been going on.
Serious backlog of investigation reports. They've yet
just too
to
much.
Get rid of.
It's just flooded with paperwork. They just can't do it. Florida, Tennessee. We know they're going to be in there, and Missouri. So that's 53 teams. Now we'll come back around, and Elijah, you cross-check me on this. You tell me if I should pump the brakes. Okay, this next group of teams, I think will get there, but I wouldn't lose out if I were them. It's just how I would put it. I've got Maryland, Rutgers, VCU, UConn. Of course, VCU could win their conference tournament and not have to worry about it. UConn, Clemson, North Carolina.
Oh, see, I have them back a little further.
Tricky. Tell people what North Carolina decided to schedule a non-conference game.
Against
right?
traditionally a really good basketball school in Marquette. This year's Marquette team, really, really bad. Like, bottom two in the Big East on a very Big East season. Marquette and got smashed.
They got smoked.
Home.
What the heck? North Carolina is a weird team. I watched them the other day against Syracuse. Didn't look good at all.
Mm-mm.
But I still think they're going to be in there.
Yeah, it's going to be close. It's going to be really
close. They're sliding down. But I've got them at 59. Number 60, I've got Louisville. I think they're okay. Now their game got canceled this weekend, right? Against they were going to play Virginia Tech.
Correct, which is a team I feel like is in.
Yo, there's no question.
Very
Virginia
much so
Tech
in.
Is in.
But
been
a big
Louisville,
game
I think, is okay, but their
win against Duke last
this is
Saturday
one of those,
was huge.
Yes, that was huge. But so I would if I'm Louisville, I'd rather not lose out. But I feel pretty good. Then BYU, I think you got to say is going to be in.
I think BYU could be a 4 or 5 seed. I think they're pretty firmly in the net ranking.
Yeah. Now I haven't seen them that high, it's always one of those teams out west. It's weird, you know. It's hard to figure out how good they are.
BYU needs to be the 5 so they can be upset by the 12. Because okay. BYU always goes into the tournament and usually is out pretty quick.
Mm-hmm. Okay? This team could do that.
I've got a line past BYU of now it's getting a little more hairy. Wichita State. So Elijah, I'm going to throw them at you. The Shockers. Remember, they had the whole thing with Greg Marshall and all the bad behavior, and the guy that's come in has done a pretty good job with them. They've won a lot of games.
Is going to win the Coach of the Year in that conference because of the job they've done.
But are they a lock if they don't win the conference tournament? Now, they're in the – what league are they in now? They're in the
– The AAC.
They're in the American. Okay, yeah. So that should be a multi-bid league, right? You got Houston
it
in
will.
There.
Yeah, and Memphis has played a lot better as of late.
See?
They're working their way in there.
Yeah,
but
so yeah, there's some other teams in that American. I'm gonna lean on you, but do you think Wichita State should say, we're looking good?
I have them as part of my last four in, and here's why. It's really close.
So you have the last four in. I have them slightly high. I haven't gotten to last four yet. Then the other one I have just above the last four in is Georgia Tech.
Yes,
with the big win over Duke.
Yep, the big win over Duke was big. And outside of two games in November and December, they would have been a lock. If it wasn't for home losses to Mercer and Georgia State, they are an absolute lock. But those are really ugly resume losses.
Okay. So that leaves 5 spots, and that's where I'm turning it over to you, Elijah. So we don't disagree on any so far. You don't have any problem with the 63 I've got in.
Oh no.
This is where Darren, I'm using the savvy veteran move is just when it gets really hairy and tough, that's when I turn it over to the youngster.
Exactly.
So I can blame him if it goes awry.
And there's one of the biggest names I feel like you missed, and I feel like they're not a lock because they're struggling now and they just had a really bad loss recently, but their body of work is impressive, and that's Drake. Drake was one of the last undefeated teams in the country, one of the last 3 undefeated teams. Fell a bad loss to Valpo after playing them on a back-to-back. The Missouri Valley is on those weird back-to-back like home sets that they've done with a lot of their conference scheduling this year. Lost the back end of a back-to-back to Valpo. Lost a really blowout loss to Loyola, who Loyola really, really good. underrated team this year. They don't have a lot of – they only have one quad one win, but that was also against Loyola in a 51-50 overtime game against a top five defense, or the number one defense in the country, rather. So that's a big win. That's going to get them into – they have a pair of quad three losses, but they were so good early, and they've had – they've their margin of victory in a lot of those games is good enough. I feel like that's going to get them in, but they're definitely one of the last four byes. And then okay. Wichita State is my last of the last four byes. Wichita State, zero bad losses. They don't have any quad three or quad four losses. Their average, the average net ranking of their losses is 34, which in their area of the net rankings is one of the higher ones there. And they do have a big win over Houston, one of the few teams to beat Houston this year. That win alone could bolster them in.
Okay, so you agree with me, Wichita State's in. So now, mm-hmm. now we get to the last four.
Yes, the last four in. I'm going to go ahead and put Michigan State in, mostly because most of their bad losses are on, or almost their losses are on the road. They don't have any quad three or quad four losses, so no horrific losses.
And if you didn't see, they got thumped last night mm-hmm. at Michigan, but they get a second crack at Michigan at East Lansing this weekend.
I think they still need to make that competitive. I'm not saying they have to win. They just can't get beat by 30 like they did last night. With a lot of their uglier losses being on the road, that's going to help them a little bit, but no quad three or four losses. Four quad one wins, four quad two wins. Two of those quad ones are tied against top five teams. So their average net ranking of wins is 115, pretty high among these bubble teams. And the average net ranking of their losses, 31, which is the highest of these bubble teams. The only team that has better quality losses in or outside the top 30 in net is Northwestern. Northwestern's not making it in. So number two, Seton Hall. Now, this is a team that is slipping. I think Seton Hall a week or two ago was probably in, but they have struggled mightily as of late. They got three quad one wins in the year that's kind of holding them up, including one over UConn, who was kind of on the bubble too. That helps a lot, and if you're comparing those teams head to head. But one other thing that helps them is their average net ranking of their wins is 101. Which, if you compare that to Michigan State, is about 14 rankings higher. So Seton Hall's got a couple big wins early on that's helping them right now, but they've lost their last three, and they are trending down very fast. They're in danger. I think if they lose in the first round of the Big East tournament, that could be the end of Seton Hall's chances. Another
Coach
Big
Kevin
East
Willard,
team.
Yeah. Western Kentucky ties.
They are in trouble. Another team that's kind of in trouble because of a bad loss last week, and that we've talked about on the show earlier this week, Xavier. Have them as one of the last four in. Struggling as of late, but the Big East, at that part of the Big East, is kind of cannibalizing each other. Georgetown has two wins against both of these teams in the last week, and they're still sub-500. Georgetown somehow is starting to play their best ball right now, too. They're a really weird, hard team to figure out. But Xavier doesn't have any bad losses. They're 7-0 against quad three and quad four teams, and at this point of the bracket, being undefeated in those games matters a lot. You want to avoid a lot of those ugly losses, and Xavier has avoided a lot of those ugly losses while also being able to come away with two or being 500 against quad one and quad two teams. So then number four, a team we jokingly mentioned this week, but is the team that I have as the last team in, the Broncos of Boise State. No, we're not talking about Jared Zabransky and the Boise State Broncos that beat Adrian Peterson's Oklahoma team in the Fiesta Bowl. The basketball Broncos, 17-7 on the year, 14-6 in a much improved Mountain West Conference. The Mountain West can get three teams in. I think Colorado State's in as well. And San Diego State's probably going to win that conference.
So, Darren, Elijah has the gumption to mm-hmm. select Boise State over Duke.
And here's the thing. They have only two quad one wins, but they have the number one ranked non-conference strength of schedule in the country. And that's going to be endearing to the selection committee. That's going to help them a whole lot. So that rounds out the field right there, with the last team sneaking in being Boise State.
But remember, Elijah is just looking straight at numbers.
This is very
looking at
yes.
quad wins, and he's not factoring in eyeballs watching television because of that big fat TV contract. He's not factoring in into anybody. Are they going to let anybody
take.
In? Have they said no attendance, or
they're going to have some attendance?
They're going to have a little bit of attendance.
Yeah, they just the last few days they announced that they're going to increase the number of people
is
they're
it
letting
20% maybe.
That might
yeah,
be as high
I,
as it
I think
is
that's
in some
a
places.
Safe bet. Some
okay.
yeah.
So I'm just saying that will get – it's whether, you know, it should or shouldn't, it will get – they're human beings, and they get paid from those big – there's, you know, all that money around that tournament, it's because of the TV contracts.
Mm-hmm. And the Duke name holds a lot of weight.
Boise brings – zero to the table.
Mm-hmm.
Duke
bring a blue field.
A whole lot. That's right.
They do bring that. They don't have a blue court. The court is a normal hardwood color. So
which they should. They should have a blue court. I think they should just stick with the theme.
All right, so
first four out, Elijah, quickly. And you can even name the next four out if you want. You've got them here.
All right, first four out, I'll go ahead and go Minnesota. A solid team, over 500 in the best conference in the country, but they have zero road wins on the season. Zero. They have lost every single road win they've played. All their big wins have been at home, which isn't a bad thing. You'd rather have those big wins, but
yeah. Honestly, I didn't even have them quite that close, but I'm trusting you on that one, mm-hmm. And that's a really, really good league.
The net rankings love them. They have four quad one wins. I mean, they're going to have the most quad one wins of any team that doesn't make it.
Interesting.
St. Louis, I have just out here. They, and what's going to kill them is the two quad three losses and only one quad one win, but they have a very high net ranking because they do play in a very competitive Atlantic 10, and they've been a contender in the Atlantic 10 this year. So they're going to be one of the teams that just misses out. Utah State.
And remember, they could win that tournament. That's the thing that could be the bubble buster.
The bid thief. St. Louis could definitely be a bid thief here. If they win the A-10, St. Bonaventure is not getting bounced out. St. Bonaventure is firmly in. VCU is going to be a bubble team. They could be in as well. So if St. Louis wins that conference tournament, the A-10 can get three teams, and it's going to rob someone.
Yep.
That's why
if you're watching and you see Joe Lunardi put your team as last four in, I wouldn't feel too good about that because those upsets happen in the conference plays, and that just – A bubble spot disappears.
If you're a bubble team, you are cheering for all chalk in these smaller conference tournaments, especially in the Mountain West, because the next team I have, Utah State, right behind Boise State. They didn't have the non-conference strength of schedule metric that Boise State has. That'd be a little endearing. But they do have a couple losses to quad three teams, only two quad one wins, and their average net ranking, the ranking of their average win is a net ranking of 200. Very low. It's one of the lowest of these bubble teams here. Not enough big wins to let them in overall. And then I put in Western Kentucky. I have Western Kentucky as one of the last four out, too.
Okay.
They can
so
still
that,
win their
that
conference.
That would be if they were to lose in the conference.
That is
so right now, you'll see, like if you look at a lot of people that put brackets together, you'll see them just put Western in right now.
Exactly.
But if they were to lose, that's when it becomes very interesting, because then they get thrown in with all the other last four in, first four out.
Exactly.
So they're worth mentioning for sure.
And here's the thing with Western Kentucky. They have one thing that a school like Ole Miss doesn't have, or maybe some other bubble teams don't have. They have a win on the road at Alabama from earlier this year. They played West Virginia early in the season and only lost by about 5 points. They beat Memphis, a prospective bubble team as well. I have them kind of on the next four out. Later on, Western Kentucky is very sneaky. They also have a little bit of star power. Charles Bassey, going to be an NBA draft pick and a first-round pick next year. He's been one of the better players in all of college basketball. That's going to help them a lot later on down the road, too. And then some of the next four out teams, I mentioned Memphis. Ole Miss is up there as well. Duke. And then I kind of have Belmont on that line, too. And it's not fair to Belmont because I do believe they're one of the 68 best teams in the country. But what's going to do them in is the fact they have not even played a quad one or quad two team this season. If they get upset, the fact that they have two quad three losses and a quad four loss against Samford, who is one of the lowest teams in net in the entire country, is going to keep them out if you're looking at just their resume alone. It's not fair to Belmont. I hate to even put them down there at the next four out, but because the resume looks on paper the way it does, that's probably how the committee is going to view them, even though personally, by watching a lot of Belmont games this year and watching a ton of college basketball, I would be able to attest that they are one of the 68 best teams in the country. They just don't have one of the 68 best resumes in the country.
So there you have it, Darren. Mm. How'd the rookie do? I thought he had very good detail there.
Well done.
Ready to rock.
Well done.
And this could change. We'll do this again next week.
Mm-hmm.
And Chase McCabe will have a chance to get his quiz on some of these nicknames.
Is he better a year later? That's what everybody wants
to know. He better start studying.
Got to spring it on him.
There was a lot of, I mean, there was a lot of, not swings and misses, just a lot of just bat on the shoulder. Just didn't know what to do on that third strike, you know?
Just curveball just buckled him. Just froze him.
He's standing outside the batter's box.
So just in case Jerry Helper didn't hear you about St. Bonaventure, real quickly, pass along about the Bonnies.
We've got them in. Even if just, they lose the A-10 tournament, we've got them in.
Oh,
you
they
said
are in.
Safe and secure no matter what.
So.
They're good.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Love the Bonnies this year. The A-10 is a lot better than it's been in a long time. St. Bonaventure, 32 in net ranking, and they do have a over 500 record in quad.
So when you say net ranking, just for people that you know, but like a net ranking, what are they talking about? That is basically replaced
the RPI.
The RPI. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it goes into more detail. It takes into account certain things like road losses, like a quad one win, like beating Syracuse at home could be a quad one win, or a quad two win, but beating them on a road could be a quad one win. It weighs out games on the road against what their net ranking is at the time. It's just a little more detailed than what the RPI is. And if you have any questions, the main website I use, it's fantastic, warrennolan.com, breaks down all of where these teams are in these quadrants. And what type of win is each win, as well as some records of what they are against in each.
He's
each
really
quad.
Good. He does a lot of good work in college baseball as well.
He's fantastic.
And this is what I think all these numbers come back to. CM Newton, before all these numbers, Coach Newton used to put it this way when he was doing the bubble talk. And we would ask him every year at the SEC tournament. Some years he was actively on the committee. Other years he was not. But he had all that insight. He would always say, from a coach's standpoint, the question he would ask, what has this team done? Have they shown us that they can beat an NCAA tournament team on a neutral court or on the road? That's why home road is so important. And back then, you didn't have all that distinction. You didn't have the bump that you get now for a road win or a neutral win as opposed to a home win, right? It's now more fine-tuned, so the ratings weren't as accurate back then. But that's what his eyeball test was looking for. Can this team beat somebody good, or have they beaten somebody good, on a neutral court or on the road? Those kind of wins are the ones you want to look for.
I'm glad Tim Hasselbeck's not next, because, man, we know how that interview would start if that were the case.
Yep.
You just made the list. That is next.